Welcome, everybody. I think people will probably perhaps join us in just a moment. As you all know, the topic this semester is our Midah is the Midah of Shalom, right, of peace. And there are a lot of aspects of peace on a communal and personal level. But so I really wanted to go in kind of two very different directions for today. I was planning on doing one on a very personal kind of thing, personal peace, and I thought, though, because of Parshat HaShavua, if there's something in the Parsha that really cries out that it's appropriate for the subject, so I'd like to do that. So let's start with a very famous Medrash. I'm not sure if everybody's heard it, though. It's a beautiful, beautiful Medrash. And that's this is taken from the Medrash Rabbah in Bereshit, over here. It says, you see there's an arrow, it's a little bit faint, but Avraham Kara, it's a little nun bet in the middle of it. And this is to introduce the concept of Shalom. The first, in each parsha, there's usually some connection to our Midah, and I tried to emphasize that. So here, we're going to talk about Shalom in the place, Shalom of Yerushalayim, and then I want to switch, because that's in the parsha, and then I want to switch to personal Shalom, which is a very, very fascinating topic. Okay. Avraham kara oto yireh. In next week's parsha, Avraham Avinu called it Yireh, Bahar Hashem Yireh. What's it referring to? When they're going to the Akedah. Avraham Yitzchak going to the Akedah. So Avraham says in the Pasuk, Bahar Hashem Yireh. We will see in the mountain of God. Referring to Har HaMoriah, which is, of course, in Yerushalayim. So what the Medrash is saying here is Avraham called Yerushalayim Yireh. That's the name that he used it, when he referred to Yerushalayim, to Har Moriah, he called it Yireh. We'll see. Shenemar v'yikra Avraham, Shem HaMakom Ahu Hashem Yireh. And Avraham called the name of that place. Next week's parasha, Hashem will appear. So that's Avraham Avinu, what he called Yerushalayim. Is that the first mention of Yerushalayim in the Torah? That's the second. Okay, the first one is in this week's parasha, even though this medrash is in next week's parasha. Shem, the son of Noach, Shem Cham and Yefet, Shem kara uto Shalem. So Shem called Yerushalayim the name Shalem. Shalem means whole or peace also. It means and they're connected, because if a person is at peace, and this is we are going to make a connection between the first part of the shir and the second part, so you'll see, but peace, personal or communal, enables a person to achieve shlemut, wholeness or completeness. Shenamar, umalki tzedek melech Shalem. In this week's parashah, Lech Lecha, Malki Tzedek, King of Shalem. So that, if anybody asks you, it's a good trivia, if it were on When I Want to Become a Millionaire, whatever it is on any of the shows, the first time Yerushalayim, according to at least the rabbis, is mentioned in the Bible, in Tanakh, in the Chumash, is this week's parashah, Lech Lecha, Shalem. Malki Tzedek, King of Shalem. So, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, God said, In Korei Ani Oto Yireh, if I call Yerushalayim by Avraham's name, Yireh, okay, Kishem Shekara Oto Avraham, as Avraham said, Shem, the person Shem, Adam Tzadik Mitraim. Shem, who's called Malki Tzedek, will have complaints, he'll have tainus. He'll say, and it's not because he's personally will be insulted, the Mefarshim explained, but there's something about Shalem, Shlemut, or wholeness, completeness, or peace, that if we don't call Yerushalayim by that name as well, that will be missing. V'im korei ani oto Shalem, but if I call the name of the city of Jerusalem, if I call it Shalem, Shem's name, right? Avraham Adam Tzadik Mitra, and then Avraham's going to complain, you're missing that aspect. What is the aspect of Yireh? It's Bahar Hashem Yireh, it has to do with Yirat Shamayim also. So that's according to the Mefarshim. Yireh has to do with Yirat Shamayim. So Avraham, that piece of Yerushalayim will be missing. Okay? Ella Hareini Koreoto Yerushalayim. So I'm going to combine the two, says God. I'm going to combine the two, and I'm going to call it Yerushalayim, Kimoshe Karoshnehem, Yireh Shalem Yerushalayim. So I'm going to call the name of the city a double by both of them, Yireh Shalem. This is God will see shlemut or peace or wholeness. Okay, so we find here that there is a combination of names. So within the name Yerushalayim itself, there's a kind of compromise or bringing together of two people's ideas. It's a beautiful idea. So Shem and, you know, the found of Semites, Shem, right? And Abraham Avinu, both of them get their say in the matter and have an influence on the name of the city, which is influenced by what the name in turn is, you know, is very important because it influences the way people feel and think. So you have Yerushalayim, which is a combination of the two. Chazal say elsewhere, it's also a famous Medrash, it says Yerushalayim, most of the time in Tanakh it has without the Yud. But when you put in the Yud, that makes it into a double. Pam is one time, Pamayim is two. Yerushalayim means two. So there's Yerushalayim Shamala and Yerushalayim Shalmata, that's one drasha. But also Yerushalayim is called in Tehillim, Habinuya ki ir shechubra layachtav, that it combines people together. What do Chazal say? It's an ir shuoseh kol yudah chaverim. Yerushalayim makes Jews friends. Of course, the irony of history is that there's no city in the world that has had more bloodshed around it than Yerushalayim. More between Jews and non-Jews, Muslims, Christians, Crusades, etc. But Yerushalayim is a city for which much blood has been spilled. And ironic that it is the city of peace, Yerushalayim. It's very ironic. But the maybe not so ironic, because Chazal tell us in many places that which has the greatest koach for Tumah also has the greatest koach for Kedusha. That which has the greatest ability to be great also has the greatest ability, Rahman al-Islam, to go the other way. So the city which has the greatest potential for Shalom, for peace, also has the greatest potentials to have fighting about it. But I thought on the level of Chazal, what they're talking about, though, of that it's Chubra le'yachdav, that it makes Kol Yisrael Chaverim. So I wanted to go back just for a second to 1967. We all know the Six Day War, when we got back to the old city. And there's a piece here, there's many quotations, but I'm going to read just a brief piece here from a quotation from a soldier writing to a friend on August 20th, 1967. So he writes, "Instead of feeling fear and dread at the prospect of death," he's about to go into the old city, "I experienced a warm glow. A wonderful joy enveloped me when I realized that I was about to fight and perhaps die for Jerusalem. Can anyone grasp the full significance of Jerusalem for a believing Jew who thrice daily prays, V'techazena einenu b'shuv chalit zion v'rachamim, and return in mercy to your city Yerushalayim," it says in Shmoneh Esrei. So that's part one. "I felt as if a great privilege had been granted me, a divine historic mission. The tensions and din of battle left little time to speculate about my comrades' feelings. Yet there was the sense of a great and sacred moment in the air. Standing together in the Rockefeller Museum, I asked one of my buddies from Kibbutz Shar Hamagim, 'Well, what do you have to say about all it?' At once he quoted this biblical verse, 'I rejoiced when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord, Omdo Tayu Raglenum Bisharayach Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim Gair Sher Chubra LaYachdav.' He smiled when he recited the verse. But listen to this. Perhaps he sensed that it was out of place for a member of Shomer HaTzair to speak this way. But I could see in his eyes that that was the way he felt." So part one was obviously a religious Jew standing there at the Kotel and feeling this unbelievable religious experience, fully understandable. Part two is standing next to him is a guy who is probably anti-religious, Shomer HaTzair, and he's standing there and expressing very similar feelings, not expressing it exactly the same way, but also feeling along the same lines. So I saw here in this little quotation, Yir Shechubra LaYachdav, that around Yerushalayim, Kol Yisrael were made into Chaverim. You have the religious and the non-religious, or even the anti-religious. A remarkable thing around the Kotel, around Yerushalayim, to really Chubra LaYachdav, to bring us together. It's a very hard thing to do. Today we struggle with this every single day. It's an ongoing issue. We don't have a Kotel getting back to Kotel in 1967 every day. Every Jew in the world at that point felt like on cloud nine. We felt unbelievable. It was just a very special experience. But we can, through this, understand the concept of the Yerushalayim that makes Kol Yisrael Chaverim, brings everybody really, it makes them all friends and coming together. I thought of also, this, and this will be maybe a little connection with part two of the Shiur. There's a Mishnah in Bracha which talks about when you are on top of a donkey or you're on a boat, whatever, how do you daven? Normally, we always have to face Yerushalayim, and if you're in Chutz La'aretz, you have to face Eretz Yisrael. If you're in Eretz Yisrael, you have to face Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, you have to face the Beis HaMikdash. If you're in the Beis HaMikdash, you have to face the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's one Mishnah. Mishnah also says if you're on a donkey and you're traveling, you have to try to get off, and you stand and you turn, bless you, and turn in the right direction. If you can't face the right direction for whatever reason, so at least in the worst case scenario is Yichavein et Libo. You have to have your heart focused and intent upon Yerushalayim. You have to direct your heart to Yerushalayim. You can't physically stand and face Yerushalayim. The heart has to always be directed to Yerushalayim. And I was thinking of that Yerushalayim is this place that is in the heart of every Jew. Yerushalayim is like a place of prayer for every Jew. And the location of Yerushalayim, if we're not physically there, is kind of in every person's heart. Yerushalayim is in our heart, and Yerushalayim is called Libo Shel Olam. And the Shem Yishmuel, in one quote, has also said, the lev of a person is Gan Eden. How a person feels, religiously and otherwise, they can create their own like Gan Eden within themselves. So I'm kind of thinking that inside a person, inside each one of us, we have this, we have Yerushalayim, because all our tefillot from our heart go out, all our kavanot go, are always facing Yerushalayim. So that brings me to part two, which is really a very interesting part of Shalom. And I don't think if I would have told you we're talking about Shalom, that this would have been the first thing that would have come to mind. Talking about first sometimes achieving a level of personal Shalom within an individual enables the person then to go outwardly also and to express Shalom and create Shalom between one person and another. So I'm going to take a little bit of an unusual exploration from two Svarim. One is actually a sefer written by the Alei Shor, Volbi. It's written on Mamarei Yemei Ratzon, on the days of Awe, and the days of Elul and Rosh Hashanah, and in the end he connects it to the Tana Tokef. But I think the message, I was going through the sefer looking for different things, and the message of this is such a powerful message. And especially for people who live in Western society, especially for people who live in New York, if I may add. If you ever stand for 5 minutes in Penn Station or Grand Central Station or anywhere in Manhattan pretty much, and sometimes even around here, you will, I think, relate very well to this very, very beautiful thought about personal peace and silence and quiet. So I think this is a beautiful lesson. And I found a similar idea in another sefer also, which I'll show you if we have time. So if you take a look, it starts off Ma'amar Echadasar, Kol Dimama Daka, still small voice. So he says here, Anu Chayim B'toch Olam Ro'esh. We are living in a noisy world. Even now we have, in this room, even we have air conditioning, we have a plane flying overhead, we have nice noise of the ocean a little bit, you have a door opening, you have, even when you try to be in a quiet space, there's always noise wherever you are. Tirtur shel mechonot, the roaring of engines, okay, mitosim, jet planes, can you imagine living in the Five Towns, how we, they certainly relate to that one. I've lived here for a while now, so we like, forget about that already, right? Tirtur, kolot shel radio, radio waves, and transistorin. How about, TV, movies, internet, Palm Pilots and Blackberries, right? Even they make noise. Even if they don't make so much noise, they only vibrate. We are, and they talk about kids also, Rahman al-Son. It's a very, where the constant, the addiction to the various Xboxes and things like that, and adults like us addicted to, or I don't know, himself addicted to these kinds of things. So when he wrote this, these things weren't even around. And he was writing, we are in a world that is terribly, terribly noisy and there's almost no quiet spaces. Haklal Yisrael, next one. Bekoshi anamotzim pina shketa. Difficult to find one quiet corner. Haklal Yisrael mitpayar ki ein tzavchaber rechoboteinu. We want to think that there's no screaming in our streets. Tanu Rabbanan, this is a fantastic Gemara. It's a Gemara in Yuma, as you say. Ilmale galgal chama. Were it not for the noise of the sun. Now, I don't know what they mean, the noiseless. There are all kinds of radiation and different kinds of waves, and maybe our ears can't pick up all of them, so it's a hard idea to understand. But the idea is that this massive noise from the solar system, from the sun, nishma, were it not for that, the sounds of the solar system and the sun, nishma kol hamunasho romi, we would be able to hear the crowds in Rome. And I assure you, the crowds in Rome were much smaller than the crowds in New York City today. So in other words, you have these two big noises, the noise of the whole universe and the sun versus the noise of the crowds in Rome or Grand Central Station or Penn Station or any street in Manhattan. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara continues, Shlosha kolot holchim yisaf ha'olam yisaf ha'olam. There are three sounds that go from one end of the world to the other. They're so loud. One of them is the noise of the crowds in the Roman marketplace. Harash haraba olam whom yisod kol amunah shoromi. It comes from Rome. That's where it comes from. Yishayahu anavi omer v'arishaim ki yam nigrash ki asheket lo yuchalo. And rishaim will be pushed aside like the sea because they can't, there's no silence. Zoi hagdarach hadashah shel rishut. This is another definition of evil. Imagine evil? Unbelievable. She'ena yicholah liot b'sheket. A person can't be quiet. The lack of silence fills our world. It's an interesting quote from Blaise Pascal. He said that all of man's troubles emanate from the fact that we can't sit quietly in a room by ourselves. Right, sounds of silence. And Kohelet and whatever. Okay, if it's as the Rambam, the son of the Rambam said, Kabelata emet mimi shamra, whether it's Simon and Garfunkel, whether it's Blaise Pascal, or the Havdil, or it's Chazal. Okay, it's the same idea that, and all the Hasidic masters would go into Yichidus, and the Kotzko spent some time alone, and the Gra, and all, they had to be, and we'll talk more specifically about that shortly. Okay, but a person has to find a quiet space sometimes. Doesn't mean all the time. Right? We have to be involved in the community, we have to be out there, we have to be minyanim, we have to be shul, but a person has to find a quiet space to find shalom inside in order to transmit it, if you will, outside. Lo kena klal Yisrael. This is not the way of klal Yisrael, that there's all this constant noise. Kol ha-matzah, this is unbelievable. I don't know if you ever thought about this before. And the other sefer that I'm bringing brings the same idea. Kol ha-matzavim ha-gvohim sha-klal Yisrael yodeh mehem, all of the great events in Jewish history, ba'im b'livoy shel sheket, came with quiet. Is that the case? Offhand, I wouldn't have said that, right? It seems to be counterintuitive. How so? Al kriyat yamsuf kvar divarnu. So he wrote a previous article about kriyat yamsuf. What does it say by kriyat yamsuf, the splitting of the Sea of Reeds? It says, Hashem yilachem lachem, v'yatem tacharishun. Hashem will fight for you, and you be quiet. So Rashi says there, lo tzilach shav, it's a time for action, it's not a time for prayer. But they explain also, tem tacha rishun, be silent. There's a bonus silence. Just go and do, and don't talk too much. There was a silence, I don't know whether they went, when they were going through the Kriyam Suf, at a certain point there was a silence. And I wasn't sure at what point to introduce this idea, but it could be here, because it's Kriyat Yam Suf and the water, etc. So I had... he's going to talk later about Eov also, but there is an interesting, I think it's a short story by Edgar Allan Poe. It's called, Maelstrom, it's a storm. And what happens in this situation is it's describing a ship, a boat that is caught in a whirlpool and is going down. And this guy is on the boat, and he's seeing, you know, the horrible seas, and things, everything is churning, and he sees that his boat is going down, and he's going to surely be killed. And for a moment, there's complete moment of silence and quiet, and he notices that there's the barrels from the boat somehow are suspended in midair, and they're not sinking. So in that bit of silence that he finds, he runs, he grabs onto one of the barrels, and he saves himself. That's in the midst of the maelstrom, in the midst of turmoil and craziness in the world, he grabs onto something and he saves himself. He has that, only, and he's only able to achieve that in that moment of silence. I want to reflect a personal experience that happened to me. I think I was 19 years old, that's a few years back. I was driving on the New Jersey Turnpike, which is itself sometimes a challenge. You gave a good story last year about driving, so I'll give a driving story now. And I had just gotten my license, and I had read the book about what do you do if you get a blowout on the tire. I read the book. Okay. On the New Jersey Turnpike, trucks, 18-wheelers whizzing around me, I get a blowout. I'm driving a very short period of time. Somehow, I don't know why, but I had that moment of quiet and silence. And I remembered, you drive into the blowout. And I carefully, slowly, like calmly, drove the car off to the towards the blowout and drove off the highway. As I do that, an 18-wheeler goes. That was like, it reminded me so much of what Edgar Allan Poe describes there in that story. People have, there are a lot of experiences people describe like that, and we'll see later in Iyov, and you'll see the Makarot from Chazal on this same idea. But a person has to have like a shalom, a moment of shalom, a moment of peace and tranquility in order to, and calmness in order to be able to pull themselves out of the maelstrom or to get some insight within a noisy and society.
When the plane went down in the Hudson, it was that same people that survived it said as soon as they hit, there was total silence.
Mm.
You know, similar type.
Similar
situation.
Type of thing. Absolutely. And the one other thing also, that, you know, in a hurricane, there's something called the eye of the hurricane, right? It's craziness all around, and in the center it's silent, actually photographed, or even the sound, in the midst of the hurricane. So that's actually based on, Eov mentions the same idea. Okay, anyhow, so Kriyat Yamsuf we just spoke about, there was this Atem Tacharishun, this majestic, powerful moment. There was a moment, at least a moment or moments of silence that were very crucial to that experience. And God commands, be quiet. We're in the third paragraph on this one. Amatan Torah Amruchas, this is very, very famous. But Kishanatana Kadosh Baruch Hu Et HaTorah, when God gave the Torah, Tzipor Lo Tzavach, the bird didn't chirp. Of Lo Parach, birds didn't fly. Shor Lo Ga'ah, ox didn't moo. Ofanim lo afu. Now we're moving to celestial realms. The angels did not float around. Seraphim, a different kind of angels. The seraphs, seraphim, lo amru kadosh kadosh. They didn't say kedusha. Hayam lo nizdazeya. The sea didn't move around. Habriot lo dibru. People didn't speak. Ela haolam shutak umachrish. But the world was absolutely silent. And notice the word machrish also, which is atem tacharishun, like yamsu kriyat yamsu. V'yatza hakol anochi Hashem Elokecha. At that moment, the voice came out, I am the Lord your God, the first of the Aseret HaDibrot. Unbelievable. Had to have a moment of silence for, so I guess there's the moment of silence of the Jewish idea also, but it wasn't, you know, in a certain sense, not exactly the same idea. Sheket muchlat ve'amok. Silence which is absolute and very deep. Kach na'e la'aseret hadibrot she'ikletu l'tocho. So it is that the Ten Commandments should be absorbed by a person. So here you have the greatest moments in perhaps in all of Jewish history, all of history, Kriyat Yamsuf and Ma'amar Har Sinai. And yeah, there was a lot of noise around them at certain times. Bara, there was lightning and thunder, etc., and clouds. But at the moment when the words came out, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, there had to be absolute silence. There had to be peace and trility at a certain level. It's a very calming thought, I think, even if you think about it. You know, have all, but wait till you see the next part. It's just beautiful, beautiful. So this is the public revelation. We'll talk about, again, the second time the Dibrot were given. I want to come back to that in a second. When we see the personal revelation of Eliyahu Navi, which takes place where? Also, Har Chorev, which is Har Sinai. It's a synonym with Har Sinai. So the next paragraph, Vivo Eliyahu Navi El Har Chorev. When Eliyahu Navi comes to Mount Chorev, which is the Har Sinai, Vayavo Sham El Hame'ara, and he came into the cave, Vayalan Sham, and he dwelled there, and Vine Divar Hashem Elav. He slept there, and Hashem's word was to him, Vayomer Lo Ma Lechapo Eliyahu. What are you doing here, Eliyahu? And he says, Eliyahu responded, "Kanoki neti l'Hashem Elokei Tzavakot. I am jealous for the God of. I'm standing up for the God, the jealous God. Ki azvu brit chavnei Yisrael, because your people have left your covenant. V'imizbochotecha hirasu, and they destroyed your altars. V'etnevi'echa haragu b'charev, and they've killed your prophets with the sword. V'otar ani levadi, and I'm the only prophet left. V'vayivakshu et nafshi lakachta, and they're trying to kill me. So he's coming to hide. Where is he hiding? In Har Chorev, Har Sinai, in the same place Moshe also, you know, hides. B'nikrat HaTzuar, in the crevice in the rock. So Eliyahu, this is a personal revelation which directly parallels the revelation at Har Sinai. By the way, the Dibrot Rishonot we were talking about, wherever it was this Kol HaMonah, the Dibrot Shniot, though, were more personal experience with Moshe Rabbeinu alone, maybe more similar even to Eliyahu Hanavi. Okay? Vayomer, and God says to Eliyahu then, Sei ve'amadeta b'har lefnei Hashem. Go and stand on the mountain before Hashem. V'hinei Hashem over, and God will pass by. Sounds similar to Moshe Rabbeinu also, out of the description, right? V'ruach gedola v'chazak, and a powerful wind, a strong wind, mifarek harim, it breaks mountains, and mishaber, turning the page, sla'im, rocks, lifnei Hashem. This is such a famous quote here, and it affects our lives all the time. Lo b'ruach Hashem. God was not in the wind. And you know, the very Soloveitchik has a book, Out of the Whirlwind, okay, which is based more on the pasuk in Eov, but also, this is the same idea here. V'achar ruach rash, and after the wind, there's a very loud noise. Lo b'rash Hashem. Hashem is not to be found in the noise, in the great tumult. V'achar rash esh, and after that there's a fire. Lo b'esh Hashem. God is not in the fire. V'achar ha'esh kol t'mama daka. After the fire, there is a still small voice. V'yihi b'shmoa Eliyahu v'yolet panav badarto. He covered his face with his aderet, with his cloak, that's much the way Moshe covered himself in the B'nikra Tatzor. And aderet Eliyahu, by the way, means his cloak or his garment. So some people say that the word for the month of Adar comes from there. Hashem Yishmor said that Adar means is a cloak, because a person has to put the cloak of Simcha upon themselves during the month of Adar. It's a nice idea. It says aderet Eliyahu. So this is, he covered his face though here. Zoi parsha nifla v'stuma. It's an unbelievable parsha. And I just want to go one more line here and then we'll skip a little bit. Ramban mevayer ba'dvarim gedolim fe'oshal Eov ala pasuk v'yan Hashem et Eov min ha'sa'ra v'yomer. And God responded to Eov from the whirlwind. It's a whole other study saying. Okay. So if I just skip down, I didn't put an arrow here though. This part maybe I'll say a little bit outside. Nevuah, prophecy comes in stages, right? There's a noise. There's a wind. There's a noise. There's a fire. These are certain levels of prophecy. Other prophets, other than Moshe Rabbeinu, had a lower level of prophecy. Each one on their own level. Moshe Rabbeinu had the highest level of prophecy. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatest appearance to a Jew, to a Navi, is the still small voice. That's the highest madrega, when it's quiet, when it's calm, when there's shalom. That is the highest madrega of nevuah. And he adds on, in this situation, it's not just the quiet that's surrounding the person, that's out the external quiet, but it's a sheket bekir bo, inside. Because all of his kochot are shketim v'shalavim, v'shalavim. He inside is completely still and quiet. And therefore, and has an intense degree of concentration. I remember I had a friend who, Baruch Hashem, is very good at concentrating. He can, like, there's actually psychological studies on this about context dependency and context independency, whether how much a person can push out. Does this air conditioner bother you? It probably does now that I pointed it out. It may have bothered some of you all the time, some of you not so much. Forget about the cold, I'm talking about the noise. So some people have a better ability to push out noises than others do. But I have a friend who was able to study for his, he was studying for his smicha exams and everything, so in the cab on the way to, I mean he studied before too, but in the cab and everything in the world could be going crazy, he could stand in the middle of Grand Central Station and then learn Gemara and he would concentrate. There are people like that, and there are people, most people are in between. Some people, if there's any little noise, it disturbs them and it distracts them. Right? We know this especially about kids, but adults too. So, there's this intense shalom inside that allows a person to really focus all their attention and to reach a higher madrega, even whether they're a Navi or not a Navi. So Chacham is, the Rambam writes, so the Chacham is greater than a Navi because the Chacham achieved it more totally on his own. So you have if a person is learning Torah and they can achieve a certain level of concentration, it's also very good. Or in davening, of course, within davening, a person can reach much higher madrigas to Hashem. So you have the kol d'mamad daka, which we're probably not going to get up to, but is of course mentioned also in the Sana Tokef, which is where he started, his starting point, where there is ending point. In Sana Tokef, the kol d'mamad daka, that's the ultimate tefillah, one of the ultimate tefillot on the Yamim Noraim, is the kol, speaking about noise, but kol d'mamad daka, you have, is this still small voice. The next Gemara, you skip to the bottom paragraph, there's a parallel here. This is just a fabulous, fabulous Gemara in Brachos, that an experience with a real-life king. After the first sentence, HaGemara Misaperet, after the first period in that paragraph. The Gemara tells them Brachot, Rav Sheshet Saginara, this very famous, Rav Sheshet was a blind person. Hava Ka'azli Kuli Alma Nekibule Ape Malka. The whole world was coming to receive the face of the king. It must be the Roman king, whatever, right? Caesar, whatever. The Kam Azul Badai Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet came along, he wanted to, quote-unquote, see the king. Obviously, he was blind, so. Eshkech Hayahu Tzeduki, a Sadducee, right? The Tzedukim denied Torah Sheva'al Peh, the Kofrim, right? Found Rav Sheshet, he came upon Rav Sheshet. Amalei, Chatzi Lenahara Begani Laya, can you go to the river with broken vessels? Are you, you know, can you draw water with a hole in the bucket? Of course not. In other words, he was insulting Rav Sheshet. What, Rav Sheshet, what are you going to see the king? You can't see the king. Pretty nasty thing to say, right? I mean, you know, Governor Patterson was upset that people, rightfully, think people to make fun of his blindness. I mean, that's a pretty low blow. So, but Rav Sheshet answers as follows. Amalei, tachazi di adona tveminach. I'll show you that I know more than you. Okay, he was I don't think Rav Sheshet was a braggart, but in this particular instance, he felt that he had to give a sharp response. Probably deserved. Okay, this is unbelievable. It's just parallels Eliyahu, Hamamad Har Sinai, and Kriyas Yamsu. Cholof Gunda Kamaisa. The first procession came by. Ka'avsha, when it came by, Amalei Ahu Tzeduki Oti Malkas. It was making a lot of noise, and Tzeduki said, the king must be coming. Amalei Rav Sheshet Lo Ka'oti. No, king's not coming. Cholof Gunda Tinyata, the second group came. Ki Ka'avsha, when it was making a lot of noise, when he heard the whole tumult, Amalei Ahu Tzeduki Hashta Oti Malka. So there was the whole procession and the whole tumult, and he said, now the king's coming. Amalei Rav Sheshet Lo Ka'oti Malka. No, the king's not coming now either. Chol Gunda Tlitoi, the third group, third procession came by. He kashotka, and it was silent. Silent. Amarlei Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet said, Vadai Hashta Atimaka. Now the king is coming. Amarlei Ahu Tzeduki Min Alacha. How do you know this? Amarlei, he said, De Malchuta De Ara Kein Malchuta De Rekia. The Malchut on earth, the king on earth, a king on earth is similar to that which is in the heavens, which is up on high. Dichtiv tsei ve'amadeta b'har lefnei Hashem. Go and stand on the mountain before Hashem. Vine Hashem over, and God is passing. Beruach gedola v'chazak meforek. This is what we read before. I'm not going to read the whole thing again. You go to the last line. Yacharesh kol d'mamad daka. There's a still small voice. So lamad rei sheshet misham. So sheshet learned from there. And turning the page, he gam b'malchut enoshit yeshno inyan zeh. The same thing applies to a king of flesh and blood. Plugot ha'chayalim ha'sa'adot lifnei ha'melech mar'im nekratam aval kasher ha'melech ba'atzmo magia mekablim oto b'shtika mirov hitrakshut. When the king comes, there's silence, there's absolute silence. Okay, in order for a person to reach the highest madregas of closeness to God, first there has to be the peace inside, the shlemut a person achieves through peace and quiet inside of themselves. That's how a person can reach the highest madrigas and come closeness to Hashem. If you turn to the second quotations, which I have here, the second article, it's you'll see, this is taken from, actually, Rabbi Moshe Weinberg happens to be learning this Sefer, or what it was, this is Da'at Atzmecha. But this, so I read the Sefer, and I found this particular piece is very much parallel to what Rav Volbi was just writing about. It's connected. It's to the other one. It's stapled. You see, right after Torah nitna b'shat hasheket, Torah is given in quiet. Ha'olam shel halevad hu'olam shebo chayu avotenu hakadoshim. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, bo chay Moshe Rabbeinu Olam Hashalom, kamo chayin David HaMelech Hashalom. The world of being by yourself or being in a quiet place was occupied at some point by Orla Avot, by Moshe and David. Yishon Sefer Nikra HaMaspik Le'ovdei Hashem. There's a Sefer called that provides for those who serve God. Shechubro Rabbi Avraham ben Oshel HaRambam, the son of the Rambam, Avraham, by the way, who said the phrase that I started off with, accept the truth from whoever said it, Kabel Tamim Yishamro, the same person, Avraham ben HaRambam. Beperek HaAcharon Basef HaMudaber LaOlam Shel B'didut HaNefesh. He speaks about a world where a person finds a quiet. Moshe's Karno Batchala. Now, of course, he doesn't talk about it. He doesn't want, in this particular Sefer, he really doesn't like to talk about meditation in the Eastern tradition and all that. He is very much against this. The author of this particular book doesn't want to talk about any of those things. But the truth is that in many parts of the world and in many religions, whatever, they all recognize the fact that meditation and focusing inwardly is a very important thing. And I think it's a truthful thing, however, whoever discovered it and however they discovered it, the idea is true al pi Torah, which is what's most important for us. Rabbi Arya Kaplan wrote a book also on Torah meditation, whatever. So he explains, this, I'd never thought about this before, so this was an eye-opener for me. In the next paragraph, Humi va'er sha'avot ha'kdoshim ha'yuro'itzon. Our forefathers that he just mentioned, the Avot, Moshe and David, were all shepherds. Why were they shepherds? Well, the first reason is to teach leadership skills, right? If you start off with being able to lead the flock, and by the way, I had to do this in Eretz Yisrael, in the Ot Kedumim, took us on a leadership seminar, and we had to lead the sheep and the goats in order to be a leader, and sometimes you had to lead from behind, or from the side, not always from the front. So there are a lot of lessons you can learn about leadership from sheep and goats, and our Avot HaKadoshim learned that. So that's the general explanation of why right? We say also in the davening, Kadosh Baruch Hu is our shepherd, and we are his flock. And in the Sana Tokef also, right? We talk about it all the time. This example, and the primary reason has to do with leadership and being led and leading. So halchu acharatzon lamidbar. They follow the sheep to the desert. Now why? This is the eye opener. Mibneishir chipsu olam shel sheket. Because they sought out a world of quiet. Hagaya shel haparot, the groaning or the mooing of the cows, tova yoter midibor b'nei adam, is better sometimes than people speaking, because people will yap away and not necessarily say, yeshna melitza shim adam rotzeh sheket, shelech lebet hakfarot. If a person wants quiet, they go to a cemetery. Sham af echad ose rash. Nobody makes noise there. It's being a little, you know, tongue-in-cheek. But adam tzarich lelecha b'derech shedarchu b'avoteinu. Tzilach, it says in Shir HaShirim, Tzilach b'kveyatzom v'ri'ya g'diyot ha'er al mishkanot haro'im. You go out to the stone and you find quiet. So Am Yisrael finds the quiet place. And that's where, when an individual and communal, and in the last paragraph on the page, he talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving the Torah and the same experience that he spoke about before, that there was no noise, there was a completely silent experience so that a person could go inwardly and to seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we started out with Yerushalayim. We started out Yerushalayim, which is Libo Shel Olam. We spoke about Yerushalayim being a place of Yir Shechubra LaYachta, that there is the combining of Shem's name, Malki Tzedek Shem's name, and Avraham's name for the city of Yerushalayim, Yir Esh Shalem, because there has to be Yirat Shamayim and there has to be Shlemut or Shalom also. When we spoke about Yerushalayim, it's called Libo Shel Olam. And that a person, if they have to daven in their place, they don't even know which direction to daven in, the very least the person has to be Mechavin Libo to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the person's heart is always focused on the Holy of Holies and the holy place. We know, to connect to the idea we're talking about now, the Holy of Holies, the special place, is found within every person's heart. Every person has the ability to reach a very high madrega of talking to Ribbono Shel Olam, of connecting with Ribbono Shel Olam through a olam shel sheket, deep sheket amok, very deep silence, deep quiet, And, you know, you could be in a quiet place and not be quiet inside. You can be a noisy place and be quiet inside also. So the quiet that's being spoken about is kind of, sometimes could be like the quiet in the middle of the maelstrom, or the center of the eye of the hurricane, or the kol demama daka v'Eliyahu, or that moment of complete silence, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Yiratzon, that everybody here, each one of us, and all of us, we should find the sheket and shalom inside of ourselves, and thereby be able to also transmit it outwardly to others, to bring shalom and shlemut between Kol Yisrael, like Yerushalayim, and Kol Yisrael Chaverim. It's our ultimate peace. Every bracha, every Shmon Esrei, HaMevarech ends with HaMevarech et Amo Yisrael, HaShalom. Okay, thanks everybody for coming. Appreciate it.